The Lord wants us to pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day, God. And Jesus, thank you for such a special moment where we get to, as your children, as your people, just remember you, God, the person of Jesus, our friend that went to the cross. Thank you so much, Lord. We're so grateful to know you, Jesus. And Lord, I want to pray that whatever happens for the rest of this day, that we would all just have you in our mind the whole day, God, just thinking about your resurrection, thinking about your life, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. So that was a special time. It almost feels like we almost don't need to preach or share anything. But I'm going to keep this very short, and I want to encourage us with something that's on my heart. And for those of you that don't know me, my name is James, and I am blessed to be one of the leaders in this congregation. And the title of this preach is Forever Changed. And it's quite cool. We actually sang about it earlier, that we're forever changed by Jesus. But I'm going to change things around here. And I want to share a story with you guys that I hope will speak to some of us. And basically, there's a farmer in South Africa that was coming down this farm road back home. And when he got to the gate, there was a group of men there that were not a part of his farm, but they were there to attack him. And so they grabbed this man out of the car. Bear with me, don't worry. I know this might be a heavy story, but the Bible's full of heavy stories, so it's okay. And they took him inside with his gardener that had been with him for like 30 years, and his maid. They took him inside, and they knew that he had guns, and he had some money and some inheritance gold, because that farmhouse had been passed down for decades through the family. And basically what happened was they tortured him for hours inside this house. Thank you, Jesus, that his wife and children had gone out to, well, his wife had gone to go pick his kids up from a school. And these men tortured him to give up the keys to the guns in a safe. Some of the ways they did that was they tried to break his back by putting him on his tummy and bending him backwards. They tried to break his back. They tried to burn him with a hot iron. They put plastic bags over his head. And this went on for hours in the evening. And this happened in KZN in South Africa. They tortured his garden boy and basically his family. And they tortured him for hours. Eventually, he gave up the keys for the gun, and he gave up the location of where some of his money was, and all these belongings he gave up. And there was one main man that was coordinating this whole thing, and he was a terrible man. He had been around the area for years, terrorizing people, organizing syndicates. And these were men that were out to cause harm, to steal, kill, and destroy. And this man's name is Jeff Hanbury King, and he's actually my uncle. And this was a huge shock to us as a family, a massive shock to all of us when we heard about this. Literally a few years later, he lost his wife. I think the farm attack actually took her into a very big depression, and he lost his wife. His two kids serve the Lord. He's a God-fearing man, and he loves Jesus with all his heart. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, he came to visit Jen and I. Sorry, I think it was a month ago. He was here in Malpos, and he wanted to come see us. We love Uncle Jeff. He's like the craziest bully you'll ever meet in your life. He has been through so much, but he always just wants to sit down and talk about Jesus with you. And so whenever he visits, it's like the highlight of the year. And he was just sitting across the couch, but this time was different. It wasn't just a normal fellowship. He says, James, I've got to tell you something. Like this, you will never believe what happened. And so I was like, okay, tell me. And he said he came home to his farm one day, and there was a car there with a municipality car with some people in the car, and they got out. So he was very uncomfortable, and they said, no, we need to speak to you about a dispute with a person. And so now he thinks, oh my goodness, like, are one of my workers like unhappy with work, or like, am I getting taken to court, or what's going on? And they basically said to him, no, somebody wants to see you. And he said, who's this guy? And they said, the man's name is Menkwele. And he just went cold, because he was the man that coordinated the farm attack many years ago. This was the man, and he is in prison now. The rest of his crew were shot dead by police in pursuits. I think one or two guys maybe were in the prison as well, but he was arrested, and he's in prison. His name is Menkwele. It's hard to say, Menkwele. Can you guys say, Kwele? Zulu. But this man's in prison, and he wants to apologize to Jeff. So Jeff immediately, he went cold. He said, like, he could not believe. He's like, God, what are you trying to do? I've just processed this thing for years. You know what I mean? I've processed, and God just said to him, okay, let me leave that. So he said, you have to bring this guy to Ishawi. That's where the town is that they live, and they transferred the man to the prison there. It doesn't help this man with any shortened sentence. It doesn't, so this is very odd. Like, Jeff is even nervous that this guy's put a hit on his head again, because after the farm attack, they put a bounty on his head that anybody that kills Jeff will get a certain amount of money. So maybe they're trying to trap him, but anyways, he goes. And he just kept asking, Jesus, what are you doing here? What are you doing? And he got to the prison, and there's a moment where you have to pray, and then the attacker basically speaks first, and then the victim gets to say whatever you want. There's almost like a pardon. So you can say anything you want to say. And so the lady looked at Jeff and said, hey, you're a man of God. Won't you just pray for this meeting? So Jeff is like puzzling. Like, he's literally face to face with the man that tortured him for hours. And so he prayed for the meeting, and the attacker had a few words to say, and then it was Jeff's turn to speak. And he was sitting across on the couch across from me, and he just welled up with tears. And he could not, you could just see deep down in this man's heart, he could not understand what was happening in his heart. But all he could do was stand up and go hug this man and say, I forgive you. I forgive you. And he was crying in front of Jen and I. And so I like start tearing up, and I'm like watching this man so raw. And he's like, I forgive you. And he gave this man a huge hug for a long time, shared this moment with this man, and then left. And that was it. And the reason why I'm telling you such a heavy story is because there's a power in the gospel of Jesus that we will never be able to understand, ever. And in that moment, when he was sitting across from his attacker, the power of the gospel was deep at work within his heart. Deep at work within his heart that he didn't even understand. He kept saying, Jesus, what are you doing? Why am I here? Why am I feeling this way? So much so that the love of Christ compelled him to stand up and give this man a hug. And I'm not even sharing 80% of the gruesome details of what they did to him in that house for hours. And here he says, I forgive you. And it's because Jesus forgave Jeff many, many years ago when Jeff gave his life to Jesus. And he gave his life to Jesus as a little boy when this little church gave him a little pocket Bible. And he said he picked that Bible up and he wrote in that Bible, Lord, make me an instrument in your hands, please. And from that day as a little boy, he's been serving Jesus. He's been an example to us as a family. He's also one of the reasons why I'm even saved today. And I want to touch on that power of the gospel. And so the gospel has been spoken about a lot this weekend. Who of you guys have got friends and work colleagues that you know are not saved or follow Jesus putting statuses up? Have we all seen that? Like, he's done it for all. Praise the Lord. Who's seen, how many statuses have we seen this weekend? Every Easter? How many Instagram posts have there been? How many celebrities posted? And you know, okay, that's a little bit weird. I didn't know he was a believer. We've seen a lot of that this weekend, haven't we? And what I want to touch on, and what I feel God wants to encourage us with, is that the gospel of Jesus is not a banner we put on. It's not this statement we can put on once a year. The gospel of Jesus is precious. It's a precious, precious message from the Father. And the gospel means rescue, means salvation. It's a rescue mission from our Creator in heaven. It says here in Romans 1 verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, Jews or Gentiles, whoever. It's available for everyone, but it is the power of God. And so the gospel is from the Father. It's the epic rescue mission from the Father. It is about Jesus. For those of you that don't know what the gospel is about, it's a message about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Not one of those separate, all three of those things together. Jesus lived the perfect life for 33 years. He died the most gruesome death, and then he experienced the most radical, powerful resurrection of all time. Because, you know, a lot of people have actually been brought back from the dead, even before. But Jesus had the most powerful resurrection of all time. And that resurrection power, friends, is available for us today. And so when we see statuses and when we see Instagram posts and lovely banners, it's like amazing. It's been watered down so much. The gospel is a powerful message that is in work in all of us. And in Romans, it speaks about the love of Christ compelling us. So in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." And just like my Uncle Jeff, you can see that is a man that you can see the power of the gospel is at work in his heart. Because he does not live for himself anymore. He lives for the one that died for him, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "Forgive so that you may be forgiven." Jesus actually said while he was being tortured and crucified, he said, "Father, please forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing." And I'm not sure many of you have done some research on what the crucifixion, the Roman crucifixion was like. But many medical experts today have done studies on it, and they say that the flogging that happens before the crucifixion is usually enough to kill a human. And so he endured the flogging like whips with bones on a ripping, shredding his flesh open, blood running out. He couldn't even carry the cross at one point. They got a man called Simon from the countryside to carry the cross because the Romans had a right to tell any Jew or anybody that's not a Roman, you can carry this for a mile. It was a right, it was a law that you had to carry that thing if a Roman asked you to and you weren't a Roman. And so Jesus was absolutely tortured. He died the most gruesome death. But yet, he still said, "Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing." The power of the gospel, the power that we now live with was in Jesus and at work. And he was already saying, forgive them. It is the power of Jesus at work in us. And so I just want to share, I'm going to finish with this. Can we be a people that do not wear a banner of Jesus? The Bible does speak about clothing yourself with salvation, but it doesn't speak about an outward thing. It speaks about an inner working within us. So it's not a cloth. When it says, the Bible says, clothe yourself with the clothes of salvation, it's an identity thing. Because the Jews would wear robes, and that robe would define your identity. So the Bible's not saying put an outer cloak on and that's it. You're going to be a banner Christian for life. The Bible says your identity must be found in Jesus. And you only know that when you feel that cut to the heart feeling that I know my Uncle Jeff felt when he was faced side by side by his attacker. He had this cut to the heart feeling. And you know that the first time the gospel was preached by Peter at Pentecost, it says thousands of men were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. Have you guys felt that feeling where God, like you hear something from the Word of God and there's this, ooh, it like hits you deep inside? I think it's got to be the most painful but the most satisfying feeling in the world because you know it's the power of God cutting you to the heart. And so that is what the gospel is. That is what today is all about. It is about the life and the death and the resurrection life of Jesus so that it cuts us to the heart, so that we can't live for ourselves anymore. Because the love of Christ compels us. And so I won't be surprised, family, that in this week, we're going to have moments we are faced with a moment where you're going to feel cut to the heart and the love of Christ is going to compel you. And I urge all of us to please follow Jesus in those moments, whether it's forgiving somebody or whether it's giving to somebody, whether it's loving for somebody or praying for the sick or the wounded. I got so convicted on Thursday because I saw a friend that had fallen off a roof and broken his leg. And I haven't seen him for a few months. And he's limping and his leg is now healing. And in that moment, she was on Good Friday. And he was showing me his scars. He's like, "I'm in so much pain." And I was like, "Oh, I've got to pray for this guy." And there was just this moment of doubt. And I was just like, this cut to the heart. I knew it was right. I should be testifying to you guys that this guy was healed on Friday, but I backed out. And I hope I get another opportunity. So we're not perfect. But please, friends, can we be those that are engaged with the power of the gospel within our hearts? Because it's not there just to be thrown around flippantly. We've all heard the gospel 1,000 times if you've grown up in South Africa. But the gospel must cut us to the heart. And so my question for you is, when was the last time you felt that? When was the last time you felt that cutting to your heart? If it was long ago, I want to encourage you to go and spend time with Jesus. If it was too long ago, it was a few years ago that you felt that, and you don't feel like you've changed, I feel that God's calling you to repent of your ways today. Turning away from yourself and turning towards Jesus and saying, Jesus, I'm sorry, please bring that power back inside of me. Because I'm not called to be a banner Christian. Just put it on a status every now and then and there's no power of God in my life. That is not what we are called to. And that is not what Jesus died for. He endured all of that so that we can have a power that makes us, as Romans says, more than conquerors. More than conquerors. That is what Jesus makes us. Not banner Christians. More than conquerors. And so I'd love just to pray for some of us. If we can all just close our eyes. I'd love to pray for you. And if it is for you, why don't you just respond in your heart? I'm going to make this very easy. Just respond in your heart. If you have not felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, if you have not felt that deep cutting feeling of the power of God in a long time, why don't you just respond in your heart? Just in your heart, you're opening up your heart wide open to Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just want to pray over every single person that is responding right now, God. Every single person that has lost that touch of your Holy Spirit, that cut to the heart, the power that your gospel brings into our lives, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, that your kindness would lead them to repent, to turn away from whatever it is that's distracting them from you, Lord. And we pray, Jesus, that your power would come and rest upon them right now. That your power would come and convict. Your power would come and bring that cut to the heart, Lord, that brings us back to you and that compelling love. Pray for that over us right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. And just with all eyes closed, if you have never given your life to Jesus before, and this is your first time hearing the gospel and hearing the fact that he was bruised and ripped open for your sins so that you can be rescued and compelled by his love. This is your first time hearing that, or even if you just have heard it so many times as a South African, but you realize, oh my goodness, I need to give my life to this Jesus. This life-changing, forever-changing Jesus. Not a Jesus that's thrown around, the real Jesus of the Bible. If that is you, would you be brave and just with all eyes closed, just raise your hand so I can see who you are. Is anybody here that wants to commit their life to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. If there's anybody here that just wants to take that step forward and just say, Jesus, have my life. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, just for salvation. I thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago, God, you raised from the dead and that power is now available for us. And I want to pray for everyone here that is responding right now, Lord, that you would come and lead us and change us from the inside out. And I pray that, Lord, you would use us to show your love to the rest of Melbourne and to the rest of the world, that we would not be Christians that just put up on a status, but we are Christians that are transformed from the inside, Lord, from the depths of our heart. Thank you so much, Lord. Jesus. Amen. If there is anybody here that felt it's a little bit overwhelming to respond, please come and speak to us afterwards. We'd love to pray for you guys. And I think I'm going to finish there. I don't want to carry on going. I feel like it's a short message. And if you guys want prayer for anything, if anybody's feeling sick or sore, please come to the front and we can pray for you because the power of God is available for all of us and even to heal us. They're cool. Sorry?
So just as James has been preaching, the Lord's reminded me of this scripture in 2 Timothy verse 3. Don't you want to put that on quickly? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. And it actually speaks of, I believe, times that we are living in right now. And James spoke about the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. And this verse ends off where I'm going to get to now, where it says, that in the last days, and it speaks about us as Christians. It doesn't speak about the world. It doesn't speak about those that don't know Jesus. It speaks about us sitting here this morning. And many people, I believe, that are in churches, it says that they've got a form of godliness, but denying the power of the gospel. And I want to quickly read this through for us. And I want us to see this of just what James has said about the power of the gospel. So we're going to read this together. So Paul writes to Timothy and he says, do this in the NIV. Got to be sharp in this church, eh? Okay, here we go. So Paul writes to Timothy and he says, but mark this. So he's writing to a young man. He says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. You believe that we're living in the last days? I totally believe it. I pray every day, Lord Jesus, please come. And it's actually good for us to pray that. The Bible says that. But we are living in the last days. And if you're not sure, if you read your Bible, you will see that Jesus even said, you will know it's the last days because there will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. There will be famine. There will be all these signs happening, floods, fires, all these things happening. And it's happening. We are living in the last days. And the terrible times that he's speaking here isn't looking at the natural things or the wars or those kind of things. This is what he's saying, is the terrible times. In God's house, people will be lovers of themselves. In God's house, people will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, authority, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of the gospel. It's quite a heavy scripture. And I just, as James was preaching about his uncle, in that moment, having to stand in front of the person that tortured him, it's like, Lord, we tortured you. That was us. And it's not to manipulate our emotions or anything, but I feel this morning God is saying, can you see, is your life full of the power of the gospel? Is your life full of the power? Is your life one that is a life of forgiveness? Husbands, wives, is it all about you? Or is it about your spouse? That's the power of the gospel. You want to see the power of the gospel work in a marriage? That's it. Lay down your life. You want to see God move in your life? Surrender. Make him the Lord of everything. Or as a Christian, have you been caught up with the love of money, with the love of self? How can I better my life? How can I better my world? And on this day, Sunday, where we celebrate Jesus' life, I feel God this morning wants to come, gentle as he is, gentle, and say, come. Come repent this morning. Come turn your life around. Turn your life around. Where are you struggling? What are the promises that you aren't sure of that God has spoken over your life? What are the things that you need to step out of? And what are the things that you actually need to step into? What has God asked of you where you've been disobedient? And we can go from this place and have lunches and all those things, but each one of us is the power of the gospel in your life. And I want to say, if you can't honestly say, Jesus, I don't walk in your power, I want to ask you this morning to respond to God, not to me, but I want to ask you to respond to God. I want to ask you to say, God, I want your power in my life. Because the Bible promises us, Jesus promised us, he said, it's better that I go, It was better for Jesus to leave this earth. Why? Because he sent his Holy Spirit to us. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will empower you. He will give you the ability not to be a lover of self, not to be a lover of money, not to be disobedient, not to be blasphemous, or all those things that we read. That's how we do it. Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Are you full of God? And this is how you know. What is the fruit of your life? What is the fruit of your life? So my marriage isn't perfect. But I think we've done something right. My kids are not perfect. But I think we've done something right. Not in our own strength, but by following Jesus. Of my wife laying her life down and me laying my life down. Our lives here in Melkbos, it's not perfect. But man, I'm saying, God, I want to see you. I want to see healings. I want to see people come to life again. I want to see lives changed. And this morning, I want to ask, what is the fruit of your life? Have you got a form of godliness? Look at me. Come to church, big smile, have a coffee. Hey. Many, many, many will stand in front of God one day. Lord, 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 did I not pray for the sick and they got healed? Did I not preach the gospel and they got saved? Did I not pray for someone and they got rose from the dead? And what will Jesus say to those? Depart from me. I never knew you. It's not about what we do for him. It's about our relationship with him, obeying him, and having fruit that will last for eternity. And I feel just as James was preaching this morning, this whole morning has been a setup, I believe, for many of us. For you this morning to say, God, I want to stop having a form of godliness and not having the power of the gospel in my life. I want the power of the gospel. And it's a choice. Because Jesus is standing with arms wide open. God promised us. Remember that scripture I read? This is your Abraham moment. Are you fully convinced that what God promises he can do? This is your Abraham moment. As a Christian, maybe saying, come to church, 10 years now, 20 years in Melkbos, who cares? This is your Abraham moment to say, God, I believe you, that what you promised in my life, you can do it. It's not by chance that we are here today. Not by chance. So I want to ask, if that's you, if something in you is just going, Lord, that's me. I've got some form of godliness. I say the right things. I might even do the right things. But God, where's your power in my life? Where's the power of the gospel? I want to ask you to stand with me. Say, God, I'll pray for me. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Stand. If you feel that that's you, stand. This morning, I believe God wants to empower us and set something in our hearts and do something in us that only he can do. And it's almost like I'm feeling the holiness of God here this morning. I'm feeling like just like God's presence here. Today is the day of salvation. And again, it's not the salvation that our minds are saying to us, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe God wants to save something within us that will enable us to walk in the power of God. So I want to ask us, can we close our eyes? Every eye closed. I'm going to close my eyes. But I feel the Holy Spirit wants to come this morning and do something in our hearts. And maybe you haven't stood yet. If you need the power of God in your life, quickly stand. Quickly stand. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep your eyes closed. Feel it's a holy moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask, just open your heart wide and your arms almost to receive. And I want to pray for us a simple prayer. And I want to ask God to do something in our lives. Lord Jesus, Father, I pray this. We stand, God. We don't want to be those in the last day, God, that is so much caught up in our own lives and what we need to do, Lord. We want to be those that have surrendered our lives, surrendered our hearts, surrendered everything to you, God. We want to be humble, Lord. We want to be true, God. We don't want to think of ourselves more highly than what we think we are, God. We want to be those that submit our lives in your hands, Lord Jesus. We want to be filled with your power, God. And today, Lord, as we stand, God, I want to pray for each person, Lord, as they are standing by faith to say, this, God, is what you want for me. I want to pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them, that you would take away the things that is not of you, Lord Jesus, that you would come, God, and as they stand as a sign of surrender this morning, God, Holy Spirit, come and fill them right now in Jesus' name. Remove what is not of you, God. Cleanse them, purify them, Lord. Every single one of us, God, come and fill us, Lord, that we will be able to walk in the power of the gospel, that we'll be able to forgive when we need to forgive, that we'll be able to lay down our lives when we need to do it. Lord, that we would be in step with you, Holy Spirit, every single day, every moment of our lives, God, whether at work, whether at home, wherever we are, God, that we will be those that people will look at and say, who are they? That they trust God, they believe God, they obey God in everything. Who are they? Come, Lord. Lord, and I want to pray for your love to come and flood our hearts now. Because it's by your love, God, your love that has set us apart, God. It's because you love the world. You loved us so much that you sent your only Son. And this morning, God, we can have that love in our hearts. Come and fill us, God. Fill our hearts with your love. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, I want to pray this morning as we stand, Holy Spirit, that you would help us. You are our helper. You are the one that enables us, that gives us strength, supernatural, that in those moments where we doubt, God, in those moments, Lord, when we don't know what to say, when we don't know what to do, Holy Spirit, I want to pray supernaturally today that you would fill us and that you will be help us to be able to obey you in everything, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.